Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. We'll be reading verses 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Our message tonight is dedicated, we might say, to our new church members. But I trust that the message will have impact for all of us who are in God's house tonight. Dear Father, we have felt the presence of your Holy Spirit in our service tonight. And we pray that he will continue to make his mark upon our lives. We pray that you'll help all of us in this service to declare ourselves and our allegiance. May we be reminded in these moments together what a crucial thing it is to be identified with the believers in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Our text is examined from a little different point of view this evening. Not so much from the point of God's faithfulness to the individual, but as an example of the importance of Christian assembly, or of God's promised faithfulness to the group. Wherever people gather in the name of Christ, he has promised, according to our scripture tonight, that he would be there in their midst. Now, the scriptures are abundant in promises to the individual. But here tonight we have read a promise to the church as well. Jesus observed it was necessary, since man is a social being, that he have others like himself giving each other support in public worship. Many hold church worship unnecessary. They say that private worship really is all they need. That really for them it is worship to be out alone in the woods and walk in the forest. And I can understand that as one way to worship. But from my observation, it is evident that private worship usually ends in no worship unless accompanied by regular worship in God's house with God's people. Now, the scriptures are not irrelevant when they teach us to forget not the assembling of ourselves together. After all, we have been built, put together, created by God to worship him. It's a natural phenomenon for man to want to worship. But not only is church worship important, I believe tonight the church membership is important. And that's why we took these new members into the church, because we feel it is important. Today we live in a society of joiners. Most everyone belongs to at least one organization, and many belong to several. Each day across my desk comes compelling mailings to join this or to join that or to join the other thing. You know the kind. No minister should be without this membership. If you're doing your job, you belong to our organization. And people in this age want to have a sense of belonging. They want to belong to something. But this desire to belong is being exploited by various business interests. You see, the simple truth is most groups that want your membership are primarily interested in one thing: the payment of your membership dues. This situation was graphically described for me when I was a college student. reading all of the compelling ads for book clubs and record clubs. Why, it just appeared to me that a fellow could hardly go wrong to join a couple of different record clubs, you know, and take advantage of the 40 free records that they sent you. All you have to do is join. To just send in the card. That's all you have to do. You'll be in the club. You really will. You're in the club, all right. And I remember the day of excitement when the free records came. What I hadn't paid too much attention to was the fact that when you received the free records, you also indicated your willingness to buy about 4,000 records between the time you joined and the next couple of years. Sure, the records were free, as long as you bought the prescribed number over the course of the next couple of years. Now, I remember well the time that I had trying to fulfill my commitment to Columbia Records and Capitol Records and whoever else I was foolish enough to join up with in those days. I have learned a thing or two since college. Not much, but a thing or two. But it suddenly dawned on me, they're not trying to improve my cultural appreciation. They're not trying to keep me current with the music of our time. They want my money. It's that pure. It's that simple. But I'm here to tell you tonight, the church is not primarily interested in the payment of your dues. Now, we believe in tithing. That's true. We believe everyone should tithe as the scriptural way to operate God's house. But that isn't our primary concern. Our primary concern is that you live in the fellowship of the church so that you may continue to have spiritual life. The church is far from being just another organization. If I make no other point tonight, I want to make that point. The church of Jesus Christ is far from being just another organization. Well, what is it then? Brick and mortar? Far from it. The word in the Bible, ecclesia, that is used for church in the New Testament, it refers to people, not to a building. It means the called out ones. The church is made of the called out ones. The building has significance only because it houses the Lord's people, the called out ones. The emphasis has always been on people. This is one reason why Nazarenes have generally attempted to be reasonable in furnishing and building churches. The other reason is we're usually poor. A worshipful atmosphere is important and adequate facilities are essential. But we think God is much more interested in a working, aggressive, evangelistic people than he is in great cathedrals half filled with complacent and indifferent people. It's rather easy, you know, to sit in a great cathedral with a pocket full of money, secure in this world's goods, admiring the work of men's hands, listening to an inspiring account of the week's news events, never being asked to do anything but pay your dues, while two blocks away, there may be a family on their way to hell and starving to death on the way. This summer, we had the privilege of being in some of the greatest cathedrals in the world. Now, I'm not talking about the great churches of the Midwest or the great churches of the United States. I'm talking about some of the greatest cathedrals in the world. They're beyond compare. But as we went from cathedral to cathedral, the question that kept rising in my mind is, I wonder how many they have in Sunday school on Sunday. I wonder how many are here for the Sunday morning worship service. I wonder how many are here for the Sunday evening evangelistic service. I wonder how many are here on Wednesday evening. But the thing that was on my mind more than any of these other considerations was this question. I wonder if anybody's been saved here lately. We as a church are interested primarily in people, not buildings. And our text implies that those who gather together in the Lord's name, professing a desire to worship, had best be there for that purpose and only that purpose. Why? Because Jesus said, I will be in their midst only if they come in my name. If you don't come in my name, I won't be there. My worship had best be your only motivation for being in my house. You see, being a church member is not a community obligation. God doesn't dwell in the midst of a people who attend church out of a sense of community responsibility. Some have admitted the only reason they join some churches is because it's the accepted thing to do. Being a church member is not a family obligation. You can't say, well, I'm going to join the church because it'll please my parents. You can't say, I'm going to join the church because I believe it'll be a good influence on my children. Those are well-intentioned motives, but they aren't recognized by God as the most valid motives. Being a church member is a spiritual obligation to identify yourself with Christ's people, the called out ones. And the guidance of the Holy Spirit can be your only valid reason for joining any church. Salvation identifies you with God and the Church of Christ universal. Sanctification identifies you as being sin cleansed and spirit filled. But again, the identification is among the church people and God. Now, the kind of life you live is the most important emblem you wear concerning your spiritual condition. But aside from that, what church you belong to is the only physical sign you have to display to the world as to what group you want to be identified with. It is your concrete act, which is a physical way, a physical sign that proclaims the fact that you have indeed been called out. A sign that says, I believe in this church's doctrine enough to join its ranks. And when you join the church, you speak not only to the congregation, but to the world as well. For you who have joined tonight have signaled to the world with an outward sign, an inward belief that Jesus Christ still lives and is coming again. You have signaled for the whole world to know that you believe man is born in sin and that he's in need of a Savior. You've signaled to the whole world that you believe that God the Holy Spirit can come in a second definite work of grace and purify our hearts by faith and sanctify us wholly through and through. You have said that by your identification with this church tonight. You see, anymore, simply to say you're a Christian is far from enough. But when you say, I'm a member of the Church of the Nazarene, most people that know anything about churches have a fair idea that your Christianity means something to you. That's why just any church won't do. That's why it's important that you join a church that demands something of you. A church that preaches and practices the full, uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And I must tell you tonight, all churches are not alike. Churches are tempted by the enemy just as individuals are. Why? How does that happen? Simply because churches are composed of people, and the enemy tries to destroy and distract all people, whether they are individuals or whether they are collections of individuals in churches. One writer has said, both in faith and in morals, the church is constantly tempted to declare that this or that is not a matter of any importance, and so we can go along with the world in this matter. Social drinking, gambling, and dancing are welcomed by many churches. They bow the knee to Satan in the hope of gaining the world. They turn their church buildings into dance halls, have drinking parties led by the preachers, and raise their funds by games of chance. This is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel of expedience. This is the gospel of compromise. You who have joined the church tonight have said to the world, I want an uncompromising gospel, the gospel of my church. Which church you join does make a difference. Not that our church is the only church. I never want to even infer that. There are many authentic gospel-proclaiming churches, but there are many others that miss the mark a long way. And I'm here to tell you tonight, especially those of you who have joined this local church, the Church of the Nazarene does attempt to be faithful to all of the teachings of Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, how good a church member must I be? Do you really expect me to keep all the rules? Well, as I told those in the membership class, and as I tell you tonight, the truly redeemed do not need all the rules. Fences aren't needed. Restraints aren't needed for those who are deeply in love with Jesus Christ. For those who want to come out from among them. For those who want to touch not the unclean thing. You don't find these people living with a manual in their hand trying to see how they can circumvent the rules of the church. I not only expect you to keep the rules, but you have agreed before God and man stating that you would keep true to the doctrines and the rules of the church. I take church membership very seriously, for this church of Jesus Christ has been bought with a terrible price. I take church membership seriously, for I am pouring out my life in the Church of the Nazarene because I believe its doctrines are true, because I believe that its rules are good and sound and solid and never more needed to help direct a wandering world than they're needed on this very day. This church that you sit in tonight is the physical emblem of the blood of thousands. Have you ever stopped to think of that? The church of Christ cost something. It cost Jesus his life. It cost thousands in the early church their lives. You realize that one Roman emperor took those who refused to recant, those who refused to say that they were not identified with Christ, those who took their stand regardless of the cost, he took them and put them on stakes, set fire to them, and used them as torches to illuminate his garden party. But I tell you tonight, they died not in vain. For the light that they shed in those early Christian times is still burning. Evidenced by the fact that we are here worshiping in this church unchallenged tonight. There were others who, for the amusement of the Romans, were wrapped in fresh animal skin. And then wild dogs were set loose to tear them limb from limb. What was their crime? Their only crime was to be a love slave to Jesus Christ, a prisoner of the Lord. But they would say, the dismemberment of our bodies was worth it, since you tonight have unity in Christ as a result of our sacrifice. There were other, even more unspeakable atrocities perpetrated on those who simply wanted to do what you have freely done this day. They simply wanted to be a member of Christ's church. Your privilege of church membership was bought with a high price, and you have a current obligation to those who have died centuries ago, and yea, to those who are still dying for the cause of Christ. As I stood in the Colosseum in Rome and looked out across the floor, as I stood in the Circus Maximus, famous for its great chariot races, the guides were reminding us that here was one of the places that early Christians were made sport of and slain by lions. As I said this morning, some of these things seem so far away, and they're kind of in never-never land. Not a real happening, something out of a nursery rhyme, a tale, a myth, a fable. But there we were, standing on the ground of the Circus Maximus. And in my imagination, I saw thousands of people cheering in the stand as great hungry beasts, the king of the jungle, came out of their chutes looking for someone to destroy. I heard in my ears the screams and the cries of men and women who were dying simply because of their affiliation with Jesus Christ. We went to the catacombs outside of Rome, and there down into the very bowels of the earth, we saw coffin after coffin stacked high in these great earthen vaults. And as the guide shared with us the fact that the Christians, trying to find some place to worship, resorted to meeting down here in the depths of the earth in order to worship Jesus Christ. But it was not uncommon, as they worshiped, Roman soldiers stormed the area and slew some of them where they worshiped and took others off to be slain. Pastor, are you saying the church membership is necessary to be a part of Christ? No, I'm not. But it seems to me that history has proven the church membership helps to stabilize and reinforce your physical and spiritual responsibilities to Christ when you positively identify yourself with His church. For you see, you are not the members of some sect or strange cult or exclusive club, but you are members in an organization whose names include Peter, James, and John, Martin Luther, John Wesley, and many, many others. But especially are you in the company of Him who is our leader still, Jesus Christ, the church's one foundation. Oh, of course, everyone who has been forgiven of their sins is a part of the church of Jesus Christ. But in the day in which we live, the best way I know to identify with Christ's church is to join some particular church and to make your stewardship felt at every level of the life of the church. Pastor, will life be any easier for me now that I have taken this step? No. In fact, you too may fall heir to persecution if you really take your stand. For the Christian who stands faithfully for the gospel and for the noble way of life will find this is still the way of the cross. But be not dismayed at the prospect of suffering. For Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Don't necessarily covet the unanimous applause of men. For if you please the world by all your actions, chances are something's wrong. And though the road of life may be long, and though identification with the Church of Christ may cost you something as it has cost others, Jesus told Peter when he first spoke of starting the church, he said in effect, "No matter how dark and difficult the way becomes, Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus' pronouncement stands for time and for eternity. Though there may be setbacks and occasional defeats, Jesus said, "My church will prevail." Membership in this church is a privilege. It will not save you. In fact, we require that you testify to being saved before you join. It doesn't save, But identifying yourself with the visible church of Jesus Christ in the form of this local church, though it doesn't save you, will certainly help keep you. And I say to you tonight in closing, be a good church member, entering into the full program of the church. And Christ will help you and will help you to prevail victoriously in your personal Christian life. The word promises, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Jesus has promised his presence to those who join together to call upon his name. This is why we have churches. This is why we're here tonight. And I trust all members will this night renew their determination to serve Christ through his church. And I trust that you new members will feel a new and immediate bond of fellowship within the church. If there are any here tonight who say, Pastor, I'd like to be a member of this church, but I can't be. I've never been saved. Well, there's hope for you, my friend. God can save you. And that's my prayer for you tonight, that you too, one of these days soon, can be identified with this church. There may be others of you here tonight who say, I'm saved, but I'm not sure of God's will for my life in this matter. My prayer for you is that God will make his will known to you. And my prayer for all of you is simply this, that you will find meaning and fulfillment as a part of this local church. That you are not a part of this church to be on the receiving end only, but you're a part of this church to be on the giving end, to give all that you can to the work of Jesus Christ through the ministry of this local church. And there is a job for everyone. If you haven't found it yet, keep looking, asking the Holy Spirit to help you find that place of service. For I do not care who you are tonight, there is some task of importance that you can do. I know of one lady who was a very timid lady. She couldn't sing. She couldn't play the piano. She couldn't do personal work. But she felt she wanted to be a part of Christ's church, and she wanted some job to do. The truth is, they created a job for her. They didn't really have anything they felt she was capable of doing. So they just kind of created a job for her. And they made her the absentee secretary. That sounded like a job somebody ought to be doing, and no one was, so they made her the absentee secretary. All she did was to check on absentees and look for new families for the Sunday school. She took her task seriously. And soon the one bus that they had there to pick up young people for Sunday school was overcrowded, and they had to get two buses. As they began to check why this was so, they found out the little timid lady had been so effective in her task that now they needed two buses. It wasn't long, however, before she filled two buses, and they had to buy a third bus. When the pastor left that church to go on to accept another assignment, he said at that time she was responsible for filling three buses and five cars. There were 150 new Sunday school students as a result of a church member who couldn't do anything. Oh, friends, there is a work for everyone in the Church of Jesus Christ. And there is a work for you. May you begin your task by sharing with others the fact this church is going into a season of revival. We're going to have good preaching. We're going to have good singing. All we need are those of you who infiltrate this community from day to day to believe so greatly in the rightness of your cause and in the importance of your church, that you begin to share with others what Christ is doing for you in your church and through your church.